I was growing up in the tween years, our school would occasionally take the class to Willow Grove Amusement Park. And oh, how I loved to go to Willow Grove. Oh, how I loved to ride those roller coasters. I don't ride them anymore. But one thing was special about that trip to Willow Grove. Whenever we had to go, we had to bring our own lunch. And whenever I went to this specific place, I would always ask my mother to make her famous homemade cinnamon rolls. My mother was an outstanding cook. I know that even more today. And you know, my mother would make those cinnamon buns for me. When I look back at that, I ask myself, why would I have asked her to do such a thing? But even more so, why would she say yes and respond to that? The story that I just relayed will make more sense as I speak to you this morning about the subject, There's Something About Mary. Albert Einstein said these words, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle." And so it gives me great pleasure to share with you the greatness of a teenager, a teen young lady who truly in many ways has lived out this quote by Albert Einstein. This is her month. There's something about Mary. There's so many sculptures and icons and music and liturgies and feasts connected with Mary. George Tivard has written a book entitled The Thousand Faces of the Virgin Mary, which is very appropriate because so much has been written. As I went online to glean information about Mary, I stopped at one site that had over 13 million pieces of information. There's a Mary page that's maintained by the Marion Library at the University of Dayton in Ohio that started in 1850 that holds the world's largest collection of information on Mary. As they call her, Our Lady of Madonna. And if you have come from a Catholic background, you know how special Mary is. Some have said, and this is strictly legend, some of the things that I'm going to say now are strictly legend. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. Because if you don't get that, then you're going to take this away as gospel. Mary has appeared to many all over the world. And they say that when she appears in clothing common to the area and common to the people. She often appears to the poor and the humble and to the uneducated children. There's something about Mary. There are many titles as I research this subject of Mary. Too numerous to mention. I will mention just some. The La Conquistadora, the Queen of the Conquering Peace, Our Lady of Aberdeen, Our Lady of Good Success, Our Lady of Africa, Our Lady of All Nations, Our Lady of Assumption, Our Lady of Atonement, Our Lady of the Poor, Our Lady of China, Our Lady of Consolation, Our Lady of England, Our Lady of France, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Health, Our Lady of La Leche, Our Lady of Divine Grace, and the Philippines. And I guess you can just add in whatever you want. So many titles, the Queen of Angels, the Apostle, the Queen of All Hearts, the Queen of Heaven. And I'll just stop because I could go on. My whole sermon time would be taken up with just giving you the titles. Feast days that have just passed. December the 8th, the Immaculate Conception of Mary. January 1, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. August the 15th, the Assumption. Many titles. There's something about Mary. All kinds of ideas and myths and traditions connected with Mary. Some say that she was born near John chapter 5 and verse 2, Bethsaida. Some say that she was born 3 miles from Bethlehem. Some say she was born in Jerusalem. They even, if you'll read the apocryphal book of the Gospel of James, they even name Mary's parents. I don't know how they knew that. They say that her parents had her later in life, and that when she was 1 year old, now this is just legend. Are you with me? Stay with me. That they brought Mary to the priest, and they blessed her, and they said, "We're going to give you a name that will be a name that will be renowned forever among all nations." They say that when she was 3 years old and they brought her to the temple, that angels came and brought her food. Mary, so much about her. There's something about Mary. Those who oppose the idea of Mary say that when Mary conceived Jesus, it was from a Roman soldier by the name of Pantheria. So many ideas out there about Mary. Great churches have been dedicated to Mary. And there is a legend that says that Jesus appeared to Mary in Jerusalem just before she was about to die. And because of that, the apostles from all over the world gathered to bid their farewell to Mary. And Peter and John and Paul and Thomas ran to embrace her feet. And as she died, the apostles bore her body and put her body in a tomb near Gethsemane. And 3 days later, legend says, angels came and took her body to heaven. The Catholic Encyclopedia connects Mary with Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, the story of the burning bush. They also connect Mary with Genesis 3 and verse 20. When the Bible says that Eve was the mother of all living, they say that Mary is the mother of the living in the order of grace. Then the Catholic Encyclopedia goes on, and at least it's honest, and I will admit, they say this, and I quote, "When we read the Gospels, we are surprised to find so little written about Mary." There's something about Mary, or in the Hebrew, Miriam. By the time we get to the 8th century, in the city of Constantinople, there were 250 churches in that city alone built in honor of Mary. Who is Mary? There's something about her. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Luke, if you would. We're not sure, but Mary could have been between the ages of 13 to 15. Probably lived in rural Galilee in a small family house of stone and mud and brick. As a young girl, she would grind wheat and barley into flour, prepare dishes of beans and vegetables and eggs and fruits and nuts with chunks of mutton or lamb in them, made wool clothing, baked bread, fed the chickens and the donkeys, carried large jars of water from the town well. And at 13, she would have been eligible for marriage, and the parents, of course, would do the arrangements. But there was something special about Mary. Let's read see what the Bible has to say. "Now in the sixth month, the angel," verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke, "the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was what, everybody? That's right. There's something about Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And as we go on and read, you'll find out that it doesn't say much else. Doesn't say that which she was unusually beautiful, that she was unusually smart, or that she was the most popular, that she was rich, and that she was from a prominent family. When we read other Bible stories, read about the heroes of the Bible like Moses and Samson and Ruth and Deborah and Daniel, we are reading about in Sabbath school, they're exciting stories. But Mary, the Bible gives us something about Mary that I think is very, very important. Mary was just like many of us. Mary was, first of all, the something about Mary that you got to remember is that Mary was ordinary. What was she, everybody? That's right. Mary was ordinary. It's okay to be ordinary. That's right. Mary was ordinary. Many of our lives, most of the time, is just ordinary. But there's something else about Mary that I want you to see. Look at verse 38 of the same chapter. Well, I'll start at 34. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" Before then, the angel is sharing with Mary that she's going to bring a son, and bring forth a son is going to be Jesus, and talking about all of the things that who Jesus is, what he will accomplish. And then Mary said to the angel in verse 34, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Look at verse 38 now. You want to get this. Then Mary said, and this is the something about Mary, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She had something, a very important quality to God. She had a quality that I find in all of our Seventh-day Adventist churches. And I'm usually baffled when I get a question about women in ministry. I know I'm digging a hole, but that's okay. I've been digging it all my ministry. I'm baffled when I get questions about women in ministry when a large part of our churches are made up of women who are doing the majority of the work in the church. And if we didn't have them, our churches would fall. I know I wasn't going to get many amens, but it's the truth. Anyhow, Mary had something that I found in all Adventist churches. Mary had the spirit. When God asked her to do something, she said yes. That's it. She said yes. You know, I love Christmas. I love the holidays. I'm thankful for women because, honestly, I think if it was left just to us guys, it would have faded out. Because there's a lot of work connected with it. There's a lot of yes connected with it. The keeping of the family traditions, family-centered traditions, the baking and the buying and doing, and it requires so much yes. I want to say something that I think is very important. If you don't get anything else, you need to get this, men. I know in our churches, you can make your own decision about how you feel about Christmas. And if you are against the celebration itself, I want to give you some counsel. You have a Mary somewhere in your life. Be it your wife, thanks, Dad. Be it your mother. Be it your daughter. Be it a sister. Be it an aunt. Be it a grandmother. There's a Mary in your life somewhere. Make sure you do not let December 25th, even though you don't believe in Christmas, do not let that day go by without getting your Mary a gift. If you don't like calling it Christmas, call it something else. But get something. Amen. Say amen, men. Get your Mary something, because they have said yes to you all year long. And buy something personal. Like perfume. You know, I was going to get my wife a DVD recorder. We can both use it, right? Get something personal. Something about Mary is that Mary says yes. She said yes in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 when they were instructed to move their family from one end to another country. They had to go to Egypt. Do you realize Mary had to pack up all that stuff and take it to Egypt? You don't think Joseph packed up all that, do you? They had to find a new school, a new church, a new neighbors. Mary said yes to that. And then God said, move back to Nazareth. They had to pack up all of their things and move back. How many times have our Mary said yes to us men and all of the wild ideas we've had? All of the businesses we said that we were going to start, and all of the stuff that we've been into, it has been Marys there that have said yes. And then we see Mary again in Luke chapter 2, pondering all these things in her heart, verse 39. We see Mary again in Luke chapter 2 in verses 41 through 51. We see Mary again in John chapter 2 in verses 1 through 5. Interesting that in John never addressed the name Mary. He takes a whole different approach. John, in all of his references, now calls Mary the mother of Jesus. All the way through the book of John. Whole change in that. I like that. I like that about John. Calls her the mother of Jesus. And so we see at the wedding of Canaan, guess what? When they need something done, Mary calls on Jesus. If you want this taken care of, just call Jesus. I like that. And then we see again in the book of John, we see Mary at the cross. And I imagine when Mary faced this, she probably said, This is not what I said yes to, as she saw her son up on the cross. You know what encourages me? When we see Mary again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, Mary is in the upper room. Isn't that something? You know what that says to me? There's another something about Mary. Not only is she a person that says yes, Mary, and you got to get this. Mary has something that I've found in nearly all women. Men have it, but I've universally found it in women. Mary had hope. It was Christmas Eve, 2002. Substitute teacher, 27 years old and 8 months pregnant, was missing. Lacey Peterson. Her husband, Scott Peterson, was a fertilizer salesman. He said he hadn't seen his wife before going on his fishing trip. 90 miles away to the Berkeley Marina fishing for sturgeon, using his new fishing license that he had just got 2 days ago before she disappeared. And they found Lacey's body washed ashore 4 months later, just a few miles from where he went fishing. Sounds fishy to me. I know some of you believe in him, but it sounds fishy to me. Detectives say that when Scott called, he was calm and cool and relaxed about his wife being missing. He said she was probably out walking the dog. But Lacey's friend says she was so big in her pregnancy that she could hardly even walk. This past week, the jury said that Scott should die for the murder of Lacey and the unborn son, Connor. I happen to believe he's guilty. That's personal. That's not the church's position. That's Gerald Jones. You know why I say that? Because if he would have really looked at his wife, they must have gotten some kind of argument. But if he could have seen her as a Mary, he couldn't have possibly done what he did. He couldn't have done it. In fact, he couldn't have been away on Christmas Eve fishing. If he really saw her as Mary, as somebody that had been saying yes to him all year long, should have been figuring out how I can give something to my spouse. But you know what I found intriguing? At his trial, his mother was there for him. That's why my mother was able to make those cinnamon buns. Some of it is just spoiling us boys, but some of it was just plain old love. And you know what I found, and young people, you need to get this. A mother will never give up on you. That's that hope I was talking about. If you're doing something that causes your mother to give up on you, you know you've gone too far. I mean, you ought to check yourself. I must admit, as I was preparing this sermon, a magazine came into our house, Essence Magazine. And it just so happened they had an article entitled, "Are You a Woman Who Gives Too Much? Learn to Say No." It blew my sermon out of the water. So I must admit, and I hope, ladies, that you'll understand that we understand what God has put in you. And it can be abused. And I hope. hope that we will not abuse you because you say yes and because of your spirit. And I hope you will understand that there's some things you need to say no to. Amen. We shouldn't wear you out with all of our requests. But there's a foolproof way to handle this, and I want to share this as I close. It's what Mary had, and it's what all men and women need to have. It's verse 35, and the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary had something that all of us need. Mary was full of the Holy Spirit. You see, that don't make a difference when you have to say yes, and who you say yes to, and how you respond to it. And Mary, someone says that, as I was doing my reading, said that Mary was the first disciple. I think there's something true to that. Mary, this blows me away. Mary was the mother of Jesus, accepting Jesus as her personal Savior. That's unique. There's something about Mary, and it's Jesus. I want to thank the ladies in this church. You don't know how much you mean to this church. You know, last week when we had the concert, you prepared two meals. I have no idea how your feet felt at the end of the day. I had some idea, but not a lot. I just want to thank you for saying yes to Him. This church runs smoother and better because of you. There's something about Mary, and it's Jesus. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you chose a young lady by the name of Mary, just plain ordinary, but oh, so much more. The Spirit to say yes. Yes to your will and your way. We thank you for so many Marys in our lives, our mothers and our aunts, our grandmothers and our wives and our sisters. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Marys. We thank you for Mary's full of the Holy Spirit. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and we end our service. Last week I said it would be a tragedy to go through this holiday season and not give your heart to Jesus. If Mary could give her heart to Jesus, her son, so can you. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I don't know who out here has not given their heart to Jesus. But if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl that would like to say, you would not like to let this season of the year go by without you saying yes to Jesus. We had a couple of people raise their hands last week, and I appreciate that so much. If there's someone today that would like to say yes to Jesus, they'd like to see your hand. If you've done it before, you don't have to raise your hand again. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Someone else would like to say yes to Jesus. If you've not done that in your own heart, you know you need to do that. Is there another that want to say yes to Jesus? You've not done that. You want to say yes to him. Is there another? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And just want to remind you that this afternoon,